If you keep a bird of prey, one of the most important things you have to do every day is weigh it. That's according to Jeff Dalton from the Cotswold Falconry Centre.
If the bird is fed up, that's obviously the heaviest weight, and that's where the word fed up comes from. It's an old falconry term. All they want to do is sit there doing absolutely nothing, looking rather fed up. And if we tried flying it, it would literally just go to the nearest tree and look at me and ignore us completely. So we have to weigh them every morning. Then we find the opportunity weight. And here we're flying all our birds of opportunity weight, we hope. If we get the weights too light, and that depends on what the temperature was last night, because if it's a colder night, then they burn up more energy, more the food, and they come out a bit on the light side. If it's a warm night, they come out on the heavier side. So we have to find this very small margin, what we call the opportunity weight, where we take the easy opportunity of food that we provide. And that way, we can actually then demonstrate the birds here by letting them do something natural. And then when they do natural things like going off, finding lift, if it's an eagle, if it's a hawk, the quick dash merchant that he is, dashes around, then we reward it, giving the easy opportunity of food. Of course, if we really make a mistake and the bird comes out too light, he goes off hunting and we can't control him. You can't control birds of prey. There's no affection towards a falconer. The only thing a bird of prey is loyal to is his stomach.
So how do you get the birds to come back then if you have maybe misjudged the weight, or maybe they just feel like going off for a while?
Well, if we have badly misjudged the weight and the bird goes off and makes a kill for himself because he's a hunting weight and we're not around to do the exchange, like in medieval times, you'd actually take the food away from the bird for your own pot and make an exchange for another little bit. But if we're not around, then of course he feeds up on it, then he's fed up, then he goes and sits in the tree for 2 days and we don't know where he is. They often will come back because the other thing that a bird of prey wants after food is somewhere to sit and relax. But hopefully that doesn't happen too often. Most of the time we can demonstrate our birds here very well, giving a chance to see just how diverse the birds are. Long pointed wings for fast aerodynamic flight of a falcon. The large tails, an air brake and a rudder that the hawks have, with rounded wings and broad wings of the eagles, so they can find a thermal, lock out and climb away. So what we do here is find the weights in the morning, program so we can fly them at some time during the day, i.e. if they come out too heavy, we fly them later in the day. If they're too light, we fly them early in the day. But we try and fly at least one eagle, one hawk, one owl and one falcon at each display, so people get to see how diverse they are, to understand how the ecology of all the different raptors all works together.
So how does that work together?
If they're all the same size and all hunted in the same manner, there won't be enough food to go round because they all hunt the same sort of prey. So they're all specialised in their own separate fields. They start with a falcon. Long pointed wings, fast aerodynamic flight, won't take ground prey. Ground prey is too dangerous. He's coming in at so fast, he has to take his prey through three dimensions, so he hunts birds. Then you've got the hawk. He's a quick dash merchant. He's got long legs, so when he catches ground prey, he holds it well away from his body so he doesn't get kicked or bitten or loses any feathers of his own. Self-preservation comes very high on their priority list. And then, of course, you've got the owl. Hunts by sound, not by sight. In fact, people are quite surprised to find just how blind the owl is close to and how they have to use their whiskers to find the food. Another example comes to mind, the kites. I mean, kites fly like kites. They hardly put a wing beat in. They've got a very skinny body with a big wing load, so their wing load of body ratio means they really can use the wind, and so they're great scavengers. So all the birds are so different.
Now, as a bird lover, I can't help but come in and look at a place like this and think, oh, but they're all tied up and can't move. Am I just being a bit sentimental and stupid over that, or actually is it a bit unkind to them?
The truth is, and this is the problem we have, is that people don't understand the birds. And when you come here, the birds are set quite happily on their blocks, and we don't need to have them tethered. The only reason they're tethered is for their own safety, because birds of prey live their lives most of the time sitting around waiting for the opportunity of easy feed that might occur. Now, we know when they want to fly and we fly them. The secret, real secret, is to know about 20 minutes before the bird does himself what he wants to do and provide it for him. Then he thinks you're marvellous. If you're 20 minutes behind, he starts to hate you, but you've got to be ahead of him. And so when they're flown, all they ever want to do is sit and look. But why a bird of prey will also come back here, even if he's overweight, is for somewhere to sit and relax. Because what you want after food is somewhere where you can really switch off. Once they're used to living in the weathering ground here, where part of the roof's covered over, so they haven't got to worry about what's flying over the top of them, they haven't got to worry about what's coming from the side of them, they can really sit and relax. So they like to relax here, and that's why they come back here. It's really embarrassing some days when we fly, let's say, an eagle, where it's very still, and the eagle can't fly very well. I've had them jump off the block and walk back and jump onto their weathering block, because they say, oh, this is bad. But until you get them out sometimes, they don't know that. And you have to get them out to sort of show them what the weather's like sometimes.
As a falconer, what do you say the relationship is between yourself and the birds of prey that you're flying?
I was just about to say there's no affection, but there is. It's all one way, me to it. You get nothing back from a bird of prey. The only thing a bird of prey is loyal to is his stomach. They are extremely intelligent, bone idle, and I believe that's why they get on with man so well. And this relationship between man and bird of prey has been going on for thousands of years. But they are extremely intelligent, extremely lazy, and they stay with us because the bird, even when they're down to their hunting weight, they stay with you because by now they've learned, hey, it's good, this guy, he carries me around, that saves me flying. And it's me that's beating the bushes, and my dogs are pushing the rabbits out, and it works. And that's why they always stay with us. You can't lose these birds. That's the strange thing. People say, aren't you worried about losing your bird? You try losing them. They'll come looking for you if you know what you're doing. It might take you 20 years to train a falconer, but you can train a bird very quickly if you know what you're doing, because they are bone idle and extremely intelligent. And you can use that to your advantage all the time.
That's Jeff Dalton from the Cotswold Falconry Centre.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.